everyone, you're welcome to Breakout with BD. I'm excited to be back on the show. I hope your week was great. Mine was. I'm glad to have you back, like I said earlier. And I told you last week when we talked about corporal punishment that we'll be looking at something very exciting this week. I said we'll be looking at human trafficking. And we'll look at two things, basically. And for the purpose of those listening to the show for the first time, this week and the next week, we'll be looking at issues pertaining to human trafficking. This week we'll be considering the recipe for human trafficking or the recipe for modern day slavery. And next week we'll be considering the life in slavery. Now, this program is dedicated to a couple of friends I've made, people who are fighting against human trafficking because it's a big criminal offense in the world today. I have people who I've spoken with, people I'm volunteering my efforts to assist their cause, and people who I'm also affiliated with. I will just mention them quickly. I have the CNN Freedom Project. I have Freedom in Canada, who is under the management of Shai in the Indiata. I have Not For Sale Organization, also in the United States of America. I also have another organization called Stop Child Trafficking Now. They are also in the United States of America. These organizations are working assiduously to end modern-day slavery and make the world human trafficking free for everyone. And I think they deserve an applause for that laudable and noble work that they are doing. Now, the episodes, this week's episodes and next week's episode will be dedicated to these organizations to further promote their cause and be a voice for them in making known the menace of human trafficking and making people aware of how they can prevent themselves from being victims of human trafficking. Like I said earlier, this is a live show. If you'd like to call into the program, I enjoy the show to be interactive so we can rub our minds together, share our thoughts and opinions. The lines are open if you'd like to call into the show. We have a toll-free number for those of us that live in the United States and in Canada. If you're going to be calling into the toll-free number, please call 888-815-9756. I go again, 888-815-9756. Now, if you're calling into the studio, you can call into the direct line, and the first one is 530-327-7602. The second one is 530-413-4510. The third one is 530-413-4522. I'm sure you know my name. I don't need to introduce myself, but one thing you shouldn't forget is I'm your girl next door. Feel free to share your stories, your concerns, your opinions, your questions with me. I'll be more than happy to oblige you and share my opinions and thoughts with you as well. And we're going to kick off with the talk about modern day slavery, which is what we are listening to this show for today. Now, modern-day slavery, like I said earlier, is also known as human trafficking. And basically, it is the exploitation and the trafficking of human beings. Now, this is a humanitarian problem of a global scale. It's widespread around the world. It's indifferent to the countries or the caliber of countries in the world today. It could be a developed country, human trafficking goes on in that place. It could be an underdeveloped country, there is still human trafficking going on in that place as well. Now, we're going to look quickly at the history of human trafficking. And for many of us who have done a little bit of history as a course in school, we know that slave trade is dated way back, and slave trade started human trafficking in those days. At about the 18th century, slave trade was abolished and it became a criminal offense for people to traffic human beings or to buy and sell human beings for the purpose of exploitation. And right about now, we'll be looking at the definition of human trafficking. And I would like us to just look at a particular definition I fell in love with, which really gave a full exposition of what human trafficking is all about. And if you look at Article 3, Paragraph A of the United Nations Protocol to Prevent, suppress, and punish trafficking in persons, especially women and children. It defines human trafficking as the recruitment, transportation, transfer, harboring, or receipt of persons by means of the threat or use of force or other forms of coercion, of abduction, of fraud, of deception, of the abuse of power, or of the position of vulnerability, or of the giving and receiving of payments or benefits to achieve the consent of a person having control over another person for the purpose of exploitation. And when we're talking about exploitation, this would include prostitution and other forms of sexual exploitation, by looking at forced labor or services, by looking at slavery, by looking at domestic servitude, by looking at removal of organs, and lots more. Now, this is a very comprehensive definition of what slave trade or modern slave trade or human trafficking is all about. And it, the definition is so wide, like I said, I'll just pick some points in that definition and explain it to us. And if we're talking about recruitment, we're looking at hiring people. If you're looking at transportation, we're looking at the migration of people. Looking at transfer, to it involves the movement of people from one place to another. If you're looking at harboring of people or receiving of people, it means providing accommodation for people at a particular point in time. Remember, the purpose is to exploit them. Now, in the course of doing these things I've mentioned, they use threats, they use force, they use other forms of coercion. Sometimes these people are abducted, they are kidnapped, sometimes they are defrauded, sometimes they are deceived. Other times it's due to the abuse of power by somebody in authority, somebody that is highly respected in a community. Other times it's as a result of the position of vulnerability. And sometimes it is the giving or receiving of payments or benefits. Now, it involves the exchange of cash or kind to buy and sell a person for the purpose of exploiting that person. And like I said, we looked at the forms of exploitation. But I got intrigued by the exploitation when I saw it in this definition. And I had to check my dictionary to really understand what exploitation really means. And my dictionary, which is the Oxford Dictionary, defines exploitation as treating somebody in an unfair way to your own advantage. So we're looking at treating somebody in an unfair way just for you to get an advantage over that person. Now, that said, we have some things that we're going to look at quickly for us to have a wider knowledge of this crime called human trafficking. Like I said earlier, human trafficking is a humanitarian problem. Apart from it being a humanitarian problem, it's a criminal offense. It's illegal, it's illegitimate, it's wrong, it's cruel, it's bad. Now, we're going to look at the status of human trafficking in the world today. As you all know, when we're looking at illegal businesses or criminal businesses in the world today, our minds will race to things like the sale of drugs or ammunition and sales of weapons. You would not believe it, but human trafficking comes third in the list. So after drugs, after ammunition and weapon sales, illegal ammunition and weapon sales, we have human trafficking coming third in place to these crimes. So you can see how large this crime is to humanity. You can see how widely it has spread and how quickly it's gaining ground into homes of people without them even knowing that it exists. Now, we're going to look at the statistics of human trafficking in the world today. I want to tell you something. Believe it or not, in the world today, we have about 27 million slaves worldwide. We have about 27 million people who are in slavery as we speak, and they don't know how they can get out of it. As I speak, 1 million people are trafficked. 1 million women and children especially are trafficked to countries that they have no ideas that they're going to live or be in, that they're trafficked to those countries and kept there and enslaved there. 1 million people are victims annually of human trafficking. One question that I'm guessing might be, you know, searing through your mind right now is, what exactly makes this business tick? But I will tell you something before I move to that. The thing is, every slave has a cost, has a price. Now, on the average, a slave costs $57. So you can do the estimation, know what a slave costs. You can, if you're not in the US, use the denomination of the currencies of your country and try and decipher what a human being, the price that is placed on the human being, because he's been bought like a commodity in the market. Also, annually, we have about $5 to $9 billion being made from human trafficking as a business. It's really lucrative for those who are going into it, and that's the reason it's spreading so much. That's the reason many people are going into these businesses. It's the incentive that they need, just because the returns on this business is very, very high. We'll look quickly at some of the source countries and the destination countries of human trafficking. And when I talk about human trafficking or modern-day slavery, we have places where they usually get the victims from. And some of those countries include countries in Africa, for instance, Nigeria, Sierra Leone, Togo. We have some other countries like Thailand. We have in Moldova. There are so many countries where people are being recruited against their will and taken away from their families and moved to other destinations where they have no idea of how they will survive, no family contact, they have nothing to live on. And we also have some destination countries, which includes the United States. We have Britain, we have the Netherlands, we have Japan. The list is also endless. We even have some countries in Africa. We have some North African countries like Libya, like Egypt. These are countries where some of these victims are trafficked into. Now, when I decided to begin to work against this evil or menace called human trafficking, I decided to study. And in the course of my study, I formulated a kind of theory that surrounds the whole euphoria of human trafficking. And I call it the three P's of human trafficking. And basically, these are the parties to human trafficking, the process of human trafficking, and the purpose of human trafficking. Now, these three P's of human trafficking determines the tenacity of the business, determines why the business has remained indestructible for so long, determines the success rate of this business. And we'll just quickly run through the three P's. Now, the first P, which I call the parties to human trafficking, includes the family of from which the victim is sourced. The second party is the victim himself. The third party is the recruiter. That's the person that goes to the family to look or check out the people he wants to buy and decides on who to buy and then takes the person away from the family. Then we also have the transporter. Now, the recruiter and the transporter can be the same person, but the transporter is responsible for moving the person through borders into the destination country. We also have the employer of labor. Now, when this person gets to his destination, they are employed to work. We have the employers of labor. And then the last in the list is the consumers. Now, these are consumers of slave-produced goods and services. Now, these are people that actually buy. They know that slaves produce these things. Or sometimes they don't even know, but they patronize the services or the goods of these people, and they encourage the businesses. They encourage the businesses. It could be deliberate, and it might not be deliberate. It depends on the knowledge of those consumers. I'd like us to go for a short break, and when we come back, we'll be looking at the things that people who the kind of jobs, the kind of the purposes and the processes that people who are victims of human trafficking go through for them to reach their destination countries, and the life that they live. And then from there, we look at the recipe, which basically is the factors that have contributed to the success of human trafficking in the world today. So we'll go for a short break. I'll be right back. If you're just joining us, you're welcome to Breakout with Bibi. I'm excited to have you on the show today. We're looking at something that is it's something we should all be concerned about, and that is human trafficking. Before we went on break, we were looking at the parties involved in trafficking. One of the P's of trafficking that I kind of formulated. Now, the second P is the process of human trafficking. And now, this process involves three things. Basically, we look at the first process, which is human smuggling, then it moves to illegal migration, and then it moves to human trafficking. Usually, human trafficking starts in the form of human smuggling. But with human smuggling, we still have the consent of the person who is being smuggled. He knows he's going to be smuggled. Basically, he doesn't have the necessary papers or visa to move to the destination country, so he decides that He will be a party to being smuggled out of his home country. Then we look at illegal migration, where people move to other countries and don't follow don't adhere to the migration rules and laws of the country that they are moving into. And then we have human trafficking. Now, people who are smuggled or who illegally migrate can become victims of human trafficking. If they are very, very vulnerable, and this has a lot of people have become victims as a result of this process. Now, we look at the third P, which is the purpose of human trafficking. And like I said in the definition, we look at prostitution and other sexual exploitation. Many of the victims of human trafficking are used as prostitutes, are used for other sexual exploitation. We also have forced labor or services, and we have some of these people working in agricultural fields, construction offices or construction outfits, and manufacturing outfits. They are forced to work against their will. Sometimes they are paid very little, or they are not paid at all. Other times, the purposes of human trafficking includes domestic servitude, where some of these people move to the destination countries, which is where they end up and where they work, and they end up being servants in many homes where they are susceptible to being abused, physically abused or sexually abused, as the case may be. And then we have begging as another purpose of human trafficking. Sometimes people are trafficked up to other countries for them to become beggars, so they can beg and provide the money to their employers, who then decides on what to do with it. And then we have the last purpose, which is organ harvesting. We have people who have been trafficked for the purpose of killing them and taking their organs and selling it to people who need it. We have cases of sales of the liver, of the heart, and other parts of the body. And it's a very lucrative business in the world today. So these are the purposes of human trafficking, and that's why this business has really become a success in its own way. Now, human trafficking is not a race or gender or class specific business. It defies these boundaries. Anyone can be a victim. I'm sure you're wondering, the traffickers, the people involved in trafficking these people, are they human beings? Do they have blood flowing in their veins? And I'm going to answer you right away. Yes, they have blood flowing in their veins. Yes, they are human beings like you and me, but they are different because what they do is they trade in commodities. They see you, they see the people they buy and sell, they see them as pieces of commodities that can be sold or reused or just treated as, you know, a piece of furniture or something. No human feeling, nothing at all for the victims. Now, the traffickers can be anyone. They could be relatives, they could be neighbors, they could be kinsmen. And the human trafficking business does not require any skill. It does not require any talent. It doesn't even require any startup capital. So you see why it's really easy for people to go into that line of business. And looking at the returns on it, it's really enticing, but it doesn't make it right. And then we look at the business recording a high success rate because of the large spread of the criminal network involved and the high level of secrecy promoting the clandestine nature of this business. Now, when we talk about human trafficking, many people don't even know it exists today. Many people can't believe it's happening, but I tell you, it's happening right under your noses. You need to check out the brokers around you. You need to go to some homes and see for yourselves how human beings are subjected to the lowest possible level just for them to be exploited. Now, we are going to look at the mindset of people that can be trafficked. But before I look at that mindset, I want to look at your mindset. You as the audience, I'm checking out your mindset because you probably would think, well, I can't be a victim of human trafficking. I am learned, I'm wealthy, I have a means to survive. And probably it should be people who are homeless or maybe runaway teens, runaway teenagers or displaced people or drug addicts, you know, people who are dysfunctional in one way or the other. Those people are probably should be victims. But I tell you, you're very wrong. Anyone can be a victim, and that's why it's important to have information to protect yourself and ensure that you do not be a victim of human trafficking. Now, before I move to the main gist of the day, which is what is the recipe about human trafficking, I'd like us to look at what incites, what encourages employers in the destination countries, which is the countries where these people are moved to work. What encourages these employers to keep these people or to source for these people to give them labor or to get their services in their establishments? And the reason is many people or many employers of labor would rather have the victims of human trafficking work for them because these victims have no right to decide whether to work or not to work. They have no right to decide the number of hours to work. They have no right to decide the kind of work to do. So what you have is simply a dummy. You have a human being who is a dummy. He can't make decisions for himself. He doesn't know. He's at your beck and call. He doesn't have a life. He has no rights. He has no prerogative, no privilege. He has nothing. And that's why many people will source out these victims to come work in their establishments because they have no rights that can be exercised. But you and I know that that is wrong. If you are a human being, you certainly have rights, and those rights should be respected. Now, I'm taking a keen interest in this, basically because I know many of the victims of human trafficking are children. They are usually underage, below the age of 18, and because they are young, it's easier to exploit them because they have no knowledge about what human trafficking is all about, and they probably don't even care. What they care about is their survival and how to make ends meet. And that's why this crime must be stopped because it affects everyone, especially the children. Now we're going to look at the recipe, which is the gist of the day. And we're going to be looking at, when I talk about the recipe, I'm talking about the factors that have promoted human trafficking that has made it such a big success in the world today. We're going to be starting with poverty. I know many of you have an idea of what poverty is, but I will just give you a brief definition, or my own brief definition of what poverty is. And in my opinion, poverty is when a person lacks the means to earn a livelihood. You have no means to earn money to provide food on your table, to provide clothing for yourself, to get a roof over your head. You don't even have the right, the privileges to make decisions that promote your own well-being. So when we have people who are so impoverished, these people can become vulnerable to human trafficking. And if you remember what I said earlier that we have this mindset of a certain kind of people that could be trafficked, and I told you that was wrong. And this certain kind of people fall under a particular factor which we call vulnerability factors. Now, these other things I'll be reading out, talking about, will be part of the things that make people fall into the vulnerability factors. What makes a person vulnerable to human trafficking? And that is the recipe for the factors that promoted the success of human trafficking in the world today. And we've looked at poverty. So when a person is impoverished, but you can't provide for yourself, provide for your children, provide for your family, it's easy for you to get an offer from somebody who has a bright and promising an opportunity outside your country or outside the place you live. It's easy for you to sell yourself out or sell your children out just for you to earn a living. And then we'll look at the second factor, which is lack of knowledge, or basically ignorance. Many people don't know that human trafficking exists in the world today. I was listening to the news this morning, and I had the story about a pastor in Britain who has been trafficking children from Nigeria. And she's a pastor and works somewhere there. And, you know, eventually she got exposed. Now, many parents were sending their kids to this woman, not knowing that those children ended up being victims of human trafficking. So it's a problem when you don't even know that it exists. And that's the purpose of this program. We want to create awareness about it. We want you to be empowered. We want you to protect yourself and protect loved ones and protect the people around you. Be aware that human trafficking is a global menace. It's there. It's right under our noses. And when we see it, we need to report it to the necessary authorities and nip it at the board. Now, we're going to look at the third factor, which is illiteracy. Now, illiteracy is a hell of a problem, has promoted human trafficking for a long time. When somebody does not have education, when somebody is not exposed to a learning environment, that person can easily be influenced, can easily be exploited. It's easy to deceive such people. So when a person is illiterate, such person is a vulnerable person to human trafficking. So if he's illiterate, he probably would not have the ability to explore the opportunities in his home countries, rather in his home country, like employment opportunity, or maybe accessibility to basic amenities like health and care, and a couple of other things. As a result, he'll be more than happy to go to another country where he believes he will get this opportunity, and then he becomes vulnerable and thereafter becomes a victim of human trafficking. And we're going to look at some other things, which includes insufficient legal provisions. Now, one way or the other, many countries in the world have contributed to the success of human trafficking today. And one of the ways they've done that is because there's no sufficient legal provisions against human trafficking. One good instance I recite is many countries in the world today have a lot of migration laws. There's a lot of laws that guide migration in and out of their countries. But very few countries actually have anti-trafficking laws. And even those few countries that have anti-trafficking laws, very few of them actually enforce these laws, and those that do enforce it have this weak enforcement, so it's not strong enough, and that's why this crime has gone on unabated. Now, we're going to be looking at another factor, which is unexercised policy framework, and that's what I mentioned earlier. We have these policies in place, but we have weak exercise of these policies. We don't enforce them. The powers backing the policies are weak. So the criminals know that they can easily get away with their crimes, and if they go on perpetuating it because they feel, well, the policies, the rules, the regulations, the legal framework is weak. So it's something that they can get away with, and that's why this crime has gone on without check. Now we're going to look at the third one, which is, sorry, we're going to look at another factor, which is lack of trained personnel. In many countries, we don't have trained personnel that can actually fit into the business of stopping human trafficking. When we're looking at training, we're looking at people that, you know, if you are a trained personnel, you should, when you see somebody who falls into the category of a victim, at first sight, you should be able to know that this person is probably a victim about to be trafficked or who is being trafficked. And sometimes you also need to go through some training and retraining to enable you identify, locate, prosecute, and a couple of other things that would make sure that human trafficking is nipped in the bud. But when we have insufficient staff and the staff are also not properly trained, you find out that we don't have the necessary arsenal to combat human trafficking. So that's one of the major reasons why it has continued. Despite all the efforts of world organizations to check it, it keeps on getting higher and higher for each passing day. And one of the reasons is because we have very few or we lack trained personnel. Now, we'll look at some countries too that have kind of institutionalized the violation of human rights. We have some countries where we have civil unrest, where we have a high level of corruption. Now, in these countries, the violation of human rights has been institutionalized. And as a result of this, people tend to flee for their lives, who want to get out of that country. So I'm sure we have ideas of some of the countries in the world today where human rights are not respected. So when people find themselves in such countries, they want to check out of those countries. And as a result, they become vulnerable to being trafficked against their will. Now, we also have cases of severe political and social crisis. Well, we have political and social crisis. We have instances of war, insecurity, civil unrest, and with these instances comes the increase or the availability of people we call refugees. Now, when you have refugees, these people are survivors of war or civil unrest, and they are very, very vulnerable because they practically live from hand to mouth. They don't have a means of livelihood. They don't even have an identity. So such things makes them very vulnerable to being trafficked and moving them to places against their will and forcing them to work against their will. Because I tell you, these people will want to earn a living any way they see it come, and if it comes in the form of human trafficking, many of them will jump at it. Now, we're going to look at another factor, which is the persistence of harmful cultural and traditional practices. But basically, I talked about culture and abuse a couple of weeks back, and I told you that culture is just the way of life of people. Every one of us is controlled by a culture. One culture or the other determines the way we relate with other people, the way we earn a living, the way we raise our children, the way we live our lives. Now, harmful cultural practices and traditional practices has found its way into promoting human trafficking. I'll paint a scenario for you. Some cultures actually encourage gender discrimination. In some cultures, especially in Africa, where the male child is valued more than the female child, we have instances where it's not going to be difficult for the parents of that female child to easily let go of their female children, because in some African traditions, the female children do not have the same rights as the male children. Or let me just put it this way, they have no rights at all. So as a result of that, they are not treated as human beings and can easily be forgotten or done away with. So when the opportunity comes for them to be trafficked and there is a return or a promise of monetary gain, it's very easy for the parents to make up their minds and say, okay, take my daughter and give me money in return. I don't care. She's just a girl. We also have instances where some children, especially when you are the first child, it's your responsibility to take care of your younger siblings, whether your parents are alive or dead. Whether they are alive or they are diseased, it does not matter. It's your responsibility to take care of your siblings. So when you have a child who is the first in his family and he doesn't have a job, and it's his responsibility to take care of his siblings, how do you expect him to do that? So when this opportunity comes for him to earn, to have a better opportunity to earn a living in another country, probably in Europe or in America, he's going to jump at it and say yes. And as a result, he most likely will be a victim of human trafficking. I hope you have gotten one or two things from what I've said so far. We'll go on a long break now. When we come back, we'll look at the other factors that have encouraged human trafficking in our world today. We'll be right back. If you're just joining us, you're welcome to Breakout with BD. My name is BD Nelson. I'm sure you already know that. I'm glad to be back on the show. We're looking at the factors that encourage human trafficking and why this evil or menace has thrived so far. And before we went on break, we looked at the persistence of harmful cultural and traditional practices. We'll be looking at another factor, and that is human trafficking is a highly lucrative business. Like I said earlier, your startup cost is practically zero. It's very little. But if you look at the gains at the end of the deal, it's large. By looking at a business that is worth $32 billion in the world today, we're looking at a business that can yield an average of $5 to $9 billion annually. Now, this kind of return, who wouldn't jump into this form of business? Well, except somebody who has something called conscience and respect for human beings, certainly. Now, we'll look at another factor, and that is crime networks are organized and flexible and very responsive to demand. The crime networks are organized, they are very flexible, they are responsive to demand. So that makes it very easy for them to survive. That makes it easy for them to kind of just scratch and crawl through all the fight against them, through all the legal policies and framework and all of that, because of the kind of tenacity that they've been able to build around their businesses as a result of these three factors. They're very organized. They have means through which their businesses are carried out, modes through which their businesses are executed. They are flexible. These are people that actually, they change locations of victims day in, day out, so that victims are not caught, so that victims are not located by the legal authorities in the destination countries. They are flexible and they can change. It's easy for them to fit into a particular situation that would mask their presence or prevent people from knowing that they are there. And then I said they are responsive to demand. So if you want 200 of victims, you'll get 200. Whatever you want, you get, as long as you can pay. So this is another reason why this menace has gone on unchecked. The business is very, 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 very organized. And I tell you, it's one business that has been able to scratch and crawl its way through all the fights that has been put up against it. Now, another factor is that the widespread reach of crime networks and their perceived abilities to retaliate against the trafficked person and their victims actually reinforces their clandestine nature. It also reinforces the difficulty of investigation into these crimes and then the lack of prosecutorial evidences. Now, the crime networks are widespread. Like I told you, it's a global problem. The crime network is everywhere. Human beings are bought and sold across the globe. And also, their victims believe that they have the ability to retaliate against them and their families if they should report or make their situations known to the authorities. And as a result, a lot of things are kept in the dark about these activities. Also, there's a problem of difficulty of investigation. I mentioned lack of trained personnel earlier. That is one reason why you can't. It's going to be difficult for you to investigate because you don't have the needed skills and knowledge to actually investigate this crime. So that's one reason. And also because of the clandestine nature also of this business, it makes investigation very difficult. And also the lack of prosecutorial evidences. Many of these victims don't even know they are victims of human trafficking. They don't know they are victims of a crime. They think they are perpetrators of the crime because they are illegal immigrants in the destination country. So they believe they are the victims. They believe they are the ones who are doing the wrong thing. And as a result, they keep no evidences of the crimes that are perpetrated against them, the physical assaults, sexual assault, forced labor, in cases where these people are forced to work against their will with little or no pay, sometimes with no food, no medical facilities, no hospital. They have no record or data to show that they are in that country where they have found themselves, so they can't access medical services or facilities in that country. So a lot of these factors has made prosecuting criminals of human trafficking very, very difficult. Now, we'll look at another factor, and that is the increased migration of people during war and insecurity. And I talked about that earlier, but I'm mentioning it again because during civil unrest, during insecurity, during wars, there is always an increased pressure of migration. Many of the people that I call refugees or survivors of war find themselves being pressured into moving into other countries or other places where they can have better opportunities to survive and make it. And as a result, it makes them very vulnerable to being trafficked or to being victims of human trafficking. Now, one more thing I would like to mention with respect to the criminals or the criminal network now is the ability to commodify people. Now, traffickers, like I said, don't see human beings as human beings. They see them as pieces of furniture, commodities that are bargained over, negotiated over, bought and sold. So they have this ability to close that human feeling of their minds and then just commodify that person. And also, human beings are people or are commodities that can easily be reused, they can be resold, and they are not perishable. So these factors make it very easy for this business or this crime to continue, because human beings, which is the basic commodity of trade in human trafficking, can be reused over and over again. They can be resold from one employer of labor to another, and they are not perishable, like the perishables that we know. So they last longer, and they are the perfect commodity for this business. My time on air is about to wrap up, and I just want to use this opportunity to thank every organization that has contributed its time, energy, and resource, and every individual that has contributed his time and energy and resource in checking human trafficking in the world today. I want to tell you that you are not alone in your fight. Many other people are getting aware about this, and I'm going to join you in this fight to making the world a human trafficking free world and an abuse and violence world for everyone, and especially the children. I would want us to look at the things that we can do as individuals to check human trafficking. And like I said, everybody has a role to play in ending the menace of human trafficking. It starts from your family. What is the role of your family? Do not sell your children off, I beg you. Please do not trade your children to earn a living. Also, do not employ people who are victims of human trafficking into your organization. It's wrong, it's wicked, it's cruel. And also, do not use products that are made by victims of human trafficking. Do not use slave-produced products or slave-produced services. If you fall into the category of people that do this, it makes you a criminal and it makes you a contributor to the ugly menace of this. It makes you a contributor to the ugly menace of this problem. Now, I would like to thank my listeners for joining me today. It's been a wonderful time with you. I want you to know that making the world a better place starts with each and every one of us. It starts with our intentions. Next week, I said this, we're going to be looking at human trafficking and the book of life and slavery, because there's a lot of things to consider under the factors that affect human trafficking. I've not been able to exhaust it. So we'll probably continue that next week. And then in the upper week, we'll look at life and slavery. It's been fun having you on the program today. I want to thank you very much. Remember our parting statement: be part of the change that is fair. It starts with your intention. Remember to be nice to somebody. Remember to make the world an abuse and violence free world. I love you very much. I'll catch you next week, and please feel free to talk to me, share your opinions and thoughts, whatever you want to share with me. But I want all of us to join our hands together. It's our joint responsibility in making the world the better place for our children and a better world for everyone. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.